So welcome to everyone who's here in person. We are welcoming not only people here, but also our virtual group who will be joining us on Zoom. And so they are just coming right now into the waiting room. So thank you for everyone's patience in here as we work on technology and navigating that piece. And we are, you know, excited to have a pretty full room here in person and also welcome, I think, about 20 people on Zoom this morning. So I wanted to start off really by welcoming both current families as well as prospective families. We are excited to offer this session to everyone. And I wanna start off first by introducing myself. I'm Nicole Engelke. I'm the Associate Head of School for Teaching and Learning here at Farbrook. I am in my 15th year back at Farbrook. I say that because I am a Farbrook alum who went to Farbrook all the way from nursery fours. Back then we didn't have nursery threes through eighth grade. So when I think about our panel here, I do too have that perspective of being a Farbrook alum as well as a parent alum, because my son Will also went through Farbrook and is now a freshman in college. This is part of a curriculum series that we have been offering this year that I have been hosting. Back in October, we offered a curriculum coffee where we talked about math at Farbrook. And then in December, I hosted another one around literacy. And so this is our third parent coffee. And I really wanted the focus to be on reflections from Farbrook, from alumni, alumni parents, and also even add in the perspective of a Farbrook eighth grader and parent about the process of what comes next after Farbrook. And then later in February, I'll be hosting another parent coffee where we're going to focus on essential questions and social studies and core curriculum here at Farbrook. I am so grateful to everyone who is joining me here today, as I was emailing people a little bit before winter break, over winter break, and into the last even few days trying to see who was around, who was local, because it was really important that we all come together and are able to join in person. So thank you. I am so grateful for each of you for being here this morning. What we're going to do this morning is I have asked Farbrook current families, as they RSVP, to submit questions that they were thinking about that they would like to pose to the panel. So I'll be asking the panel some questions and people will be jumping in and sharing. And at around 9 o'clock, we'll wrap up and we'll have an opportunity for our panelists to stay for a few minutes, and they are happy to answer questions, or we can put you in contact with someone here at Farbrook who can answer any questions. What I wanted to start off by sharing is I wanted to provide everyone with a sense of our panel and what they represent, and also wanted to mention that, you know, based on availability, everyone up here on the panel is just a snapshot of families and students who have a connection to Farbrook. And I wanted to give you a little bit more information about statistics that about 75% of our eighth graders choose independent schools following Farbrook. And those independent schools could be day schools that are in the area. And I'll just name a few. Newark Academy, Kemp Place, Pingree, Morristown Baird, MKA, Dilbarton, and so many others that are in our area. And we also have some families who choose for their student to move on to a boarding school. And so a few of those in the last couple of years have been Exeter and Andover, you know, again, among many, many others. And about 25% of our eighth graders choose their local public schools as well. And so I did want to mention that we have students who are very successful heading off to Columbia High School, Milburn High School, Livingston High School, Summit High School, and on again. Those are just a few. Because I did want to say that, again, our panel here is a snapshot of a few schools in the area or a few decisions around where they went as a next step. So I just wanted to add that in. And we do have Mickey Murphy here in our audience who works with families on that secondary school process. And she'll be here after our panel discussion. If people have more questions about, you know, families choosing public school versus independent schools as a next step. So I just wanted to add that in before we began. And I'm going to now pass it on to our panel here. And I wanted to ask everyone if they would just take a moment to introduce themselves and maybe share one word that comes to mind when they think about Farbrook for them. So maybe we'll start with Georgia. Would you be willing to start us off?
Sure. All right. Hey, everyone. I'm Georgia. I was at Farbrook from nursery to eighth grade. And my mom is also a Farbrook alum, so very familiar with Farbrook. I went to Kent Place, and I'm at Princeton right now. I'm a sophomore. If I were to describe Farbrook with one word or my experience, I guess I would say engaging. I just remember feeling very excited to be at school every day. And I don't think that's something that every fourth or fifth grader can say about going to school. But I just remember having so much fun and being excited to see my friends and do whatever we were doing during the school day.
My name is Margot. I also went to Farbrook from nursery to eighth grade, and then I went to Kent Place, and now I'm at the University of Virginia. And I think if I had to pick one word for Farbrook, it would be community, because I have three sisters and we all went here, nursery to eighth grade. So I think that means my family has been here total of like 19 consecutive years. So Farbrook has been with me in every stage of life, whether I'm a student or an alumni. And I still do drop off and pick up from my younger sister, who's going to graduate this year.
Hi, I'm Sammy. I'm a current sophomore at Brown. I went to New York Academy. I was also here through nursery all the way till eighth grade. I would say one word to describe Farbrook for me is just joyous. I think, like Georgia said, every day coming to school, I don't think I can say that I've been so consistently excited to learn and excited to try new things like I was at Farbrook. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Yache. I was at Farbrook from 7th through 8th grade. My mom's a teacher here. I graduated from Kent Place, and I'm at Emerson College in Boston right now. And one word that I would say describes my experience with Farbrook would probably be family, honestly. Like within my own family, being here with my mom teaching and my little brother being here from kindergarten through 8th grade, I've just realized how strong the connections are that you make here. And throughout time, like, you'll always have a place to come back to, really. So I'd say family.
Hi, my name is Chrissy Burnett. I am currently in 8th grade at Farbrook, and I've been here since 4th. One word I would use is collaborative, because of the support that we get from our teachers and how we're always working with our peers and how we're all just supporting each other.
Hi, I'm Hillary Hoover. I'm a parent alum. My daughter graduated last year. She was here 4th through 8th. And she's now at Kent Place. I would say inclusive. There's so many things, inclusive in many ways, inclusive in that kids do everything. Everyone's in choir, everyone's in sports, but also just celebrating each part of every kid's self, their identities, inclusive.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kamal Caruso. I'm an alumni parent and also a current parent. So I had Sana, who graduated in 2016 and went on to Morristown Barrett and then Syracuse, and she was nursery through 8th. And then we have Luca, who started in nursery 3, and now he's a 4th grader. So I've been at Farbrook a very, very long time. I don't know. Not quite 19, but I think like maybe 16. But it feels like just a part of our everyday life. And so the word I would describe is home, because it feels like a second home to parents because of the community we have here. And then also for our children, who have an amazing learning experience, but also feel so very comfortable on this campus. And so I feel like they think it's their second home.
Thank you. Good morning, Nadine Burnett. Chrissy's my daughter. So this is fun to be on the panel together. We came in 4th grade. I have 3 older sons that went through the public school, and my daughter needed something different. And so the word for us is nurturing. From the day we stepped on campus, teachers saw her, valued her, figured out what she was good at, really nurtured, all the wonderful things about her personality, and not just for Chrissy, right? All her peers, her classmates, I see them doing it for everyone. So for me, nurturing is really the word that describes Barbara for us.
Thanks so much. So the next question I wanted to pose to the panel is, you know, a lot of families think about the fact that Farbrook is a pre-K to grade 8 school. And so on their minds is the transition into high school and then of course into college. And I wondered if any of you would want to speak to the fact about the transition from Farbrook into high school, and what were some of the places where you felt prepared? How did your Farbrook experience prepare you for high school and beyond? And also with that, if there were things that maybe were surprising as you were transitioning into high school, and maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the tools maybe that you developed here, and parents as well to share that perspective.
I could take a crack at that one. Something that I just thought of actually was, I've gone through like different types of schooling throughout my life, but at Farbrook, one thing that like surprises all of us, even the ones who have been here for a long time, so we call teachers by their first names. But I think that kind of helps like for a student to like level themselves with the teacher and understand that the relationship is benefiting like them, and like the lack of titles, sometimes it helps to be able to like speak for yourself. And we work a lot on like advocating. You learn how to advocate for yourself. You learn how to figure out like what works for you and what doesn't, and be able to speak to whomever about that. Most, if all, teachers will always be like a trusted person for you. And then another thing that I thought of was like a lack of uniform. I used to wear a uniform at school. Coming to Farbrook, it's a place where you can really freely express yourself. And I think that helped bring me into high school at Kent Place. Secular education, it's all girls, but I think a lot of Farbrook's values really helped me coming into that space. And yeah.
I was just gonna say, I went to Farbrook from nursery. So when I went to high school, I had never really had to sort of integrate myself into a community in that way, and I was terrified. And the exact same thing happened when I was going to college. I was going to from a 75 person class to a school of 16,000 people, and I didn't even realize it at the time that this is what Farbrook taught me. But somebody said the word inclusive. And when I showed up to both of those schools, I signed up for every possible club and every possible extracurricular you could do, because I didn't know that some, like at Farbrook, I was just taught to incorporate myself in everything. I'm a terrible singer, but I was in the choir. I'm not a great actor, but I was in the plays. And I was also on the sports teams. And so I did that when I went to college and high school. I just took every opportunity I was given to make friends and incorporate myself into a new community. And I loved everything that I did. And I think that was a really valuable thing that Farbrook taught me. And I'm sure I'll do it when I leave college and I enter a new community. I'll find as many ways to integrate myself as possible.
I can chime in. Yeah, kind of just like piggybacking on that. I think one of the nice things about Farbrook is, in terms of what you do, you don't have to make a lot of decisions in terms of going to sports or going to music, going to woodshop, you know. You had to do it whether you liked it or not. And of course I loved it. But I think in high school you do have to start making some of those decisions. You know, you have to go to choir, or you have to go to orchestra, or you have to play a sport or go to the debate team after school. And I was really grateful that I had all those experiences at Farbrook, so I could kind of understand what I like to do and make those decisions more like better informed. And as Margot said, I did try to kind of sign up for everything in that way, because I was just very inspired by the things I did at Farbrook. I played field hockey in high school, which I probably wouldn't have done if I hadn't played at Farbrook, because, you know, I never labeled myself as an athlete or anything, but it ended up being a really wonderful experience for me in high school. So I would say the chance to just do everything at Farbrook makes for a smoother transition when you have to decide and make some of those choices in high school.
Just add a little bit.
Kind of adding on to what Niyasha said, I can't like thank Barbara enough for teaching me how to talk to a teacher. I think that that was one thing that in a bigger setting you kind of I took totally for granted at Barbara, that you know you go to your teacher with absolutely anything, and you have such great relationships with them that I think that that for me just carried on into high school, and I tried to make the best connections that I could with my teachers. And I think that, you know, sometimes my peers didn't do so as much. So I felt just like that I had really strong connections with my teachers. And I think in college, obviously it's a much, much larger setting than, you know, my 17 person class at Barbara. But I still try and, you know, find time to talk to them and find, make those relationships that, you know, were so formative in my years at here at Barbara. So yeah.
I'm wondering if someone on the panel could talk a little more about the preparation academically and what it felt like maybe for your child or for yourself and transitioning in that sort of ninth grade year and in a new school setting. Sure.
I never had an issue coming from Farbrook. I think all my other friends who came to New York Academy with me from Farbrook never had any issue whatsoever acclimating to the environment. Obviously, Newark Academy is a place where there is a, you know, a big middle school that a lot of people really love the experience of. However, I wouldn't trade my Farbrook experience for the world. And I think actually, in comparison to my peers, I ended up being sometimes, you know, way more organized and being able to advocate that some of them couldn't. And it was just, I feel like Farbrook, you know, in the sciences and English and everything I did, I never had any trouble and feeling the need that I like needed to do more or match my peers. I was always very, very capable and always ready to do the same level that they were, if not higher level.
And it's interesting, several of you have touched on that piece around advocating for yourself. And I wondered if any of you have some memories around, you know, what maybe were some aspects of the your experience here at Farbrook that you think maybe helped you develop in that area? Does anything come to mind?
I think Farbrook just changed the way that I viewed education, because what I noticed in high school and even again in college is that there's nothing that I believed that I like wasn't capable of doing, which I'm sure there's a lot that I'm not totally capable of doing, but just in terms of like, whenever I've struggled in school, I've never seen it as something like, oh, I'm not smart enough to do this math problem. At Farbrook, it was like, oh, I'm not understanding my homework. I'll go in for early morning math, or like, I'm not understanding how to write this paper. I'm just going to go see my teacher. And so that was exactly how I approached everything in high school. Definitely when things like picked up a little bit. And I was like, oh, I'm not totally understanding this. I never saw it as I'm not smart enough, or this isn't my area of expertise. I'm a math person, not an English person. I just saw it as like, oh, well, that's when I go to my teacher, because that's a really formative thing that Farbrook teaches you, is just that your teachers aren't just smarter than you and there to relay this information on you. They're there to walk you through it. And we call them by their first name. They care about your life outside of the classroom. They like, it's way beyond a teacher-student relationship, which I think is the biggest academic piece that I've taken with me. And especially now that I go to, a 16,000 person school, I take the exact same approach. I think I talk more to my advisor than he's ever had in the past. I ask him every little question. And so I'm really thankful to Farbrook for that.
I would say from the advocacy piece, just learning how to publicly speak as well and represent, you know, yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, who you are. There's so many instances all the way from nursery 3 through 8th grade, whether you're participating in a play, presenting at morning meeting to the entire school, your teachers, the administration, also doing presentations within your classroom. There's so much you're learning that are those skills that you take to high school, to college, and even beyond. So I've said Farbrook really prepared Sana and is preparing Luca to not only be academically very well prepared, but to be a human, which I think is really, really important. Those soft skills that aren't really taught are really taught here, and that I think really prepared them well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I think the panel touched on a few things around, you know, in high school settings, extracurriculars, things that you've been involved in. And I wondered if you could just share a little more about some of the things that maybe started here as part of Farberg's program, where every student in upper school participates in drama, music, on sports teams, you know, in woodshop, in art, and sort of like where that led you sort of in your path and what kinds of things you've been a part of, you know, that maybe started here.
Well, I am at Emerson College for theater. I'm a theater major. And that was definitely sparked here. I had an interest in performing arts before, but I think like having such an impassioned director like Mr. Glossman, and just working through, like, I mean, I was here for junior high, but most people have had a play every year. And then in eighth grade, we have one play and then the graduation play. And so we all do a little bit of Shakespeare. And I think throughout my time here, while playing sports that I was like a little bit hesitant about, but, you know, helped me stay active and understand like what type of physical activity my body responded to that I could keep with me, like without the sport. Within academics and everything, like we really truly do so much. And I think when we had like several sort of performances throughout the year, we work so much on like the ability to public speak and to present yourself, as you had said. And so I think Farberg really helped me figure out where my passions lied, and definitely helped me carry theater as a passion through high school and to college right now, made me feel affirmed that I could do it as a career, because that had always been like a concern. But you learn here at Farberg, like if you put your mind to something, like you can absolutely go into whatever experience you feel fits you. And since we do so much, you'll be able to like sort of eliminate like elements of some things that maybe you didn't really feel connected to, but like still, like I said, the skills that you learn, this is referring to sports again, but those skills that you learn, those really, really stick with you. And so yeah, even like some of my like warm-ups, my physical warm-ups for my craft, those have definitely been informed by things that I've learned here. Also, this was after we graduated, but I feel like there was sort of a interest in mindfulness. And so I think I've carried that as well with me for the past 3 years, few years, but yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, I guess so. Nyaki's talking about something that she sees herself pursuing as a career. I would say that what I am grateful for Farberg for instilling in me is the fact that I can do something. I play viola and very involved in music, but the fact that I can do all those things on campus, even though ultimately I will not be a musician and make money as a musician, but the fact that it's always going to be an important part of my life, and that I feel like, you know, I'm pre-med, I see myself being a doctor and like playing in an orchestra, you know, when I'm 40 years old. And I don't think every adult kind of has that perspective on their passions or their extracurriculars. I think a lot of people in high school and college would kind of have the mindset like, why are you doing those things? You know, like what is your, that's not part of your career, or that's not going to benefit you in the future. But to me, music, I just always had the mindset it's going to be a part of my life. It brings me joy. And I that's just like obvious to me. That's just like, of course. But to people who might have not, you know, grown up at Farberg, that might be confusing to them. And I think that
just immersing myself in music every day and seeing that this is just something I can do for fun and very seriously, but not ever as something that I might pursue as a career, is something that I learned at Marburg.
I also play violin. I still do it at Brown. I'm like a performance kind of minor, whatever the equivalent is at Brown. But yeah, so I remember, my after kindergarten, after hearing, you know, Milan, who's the orchestra teacher now, he was my teacher all the way through senior year of high school. I remember hearing him play for me in morning meeting. And there was that summer, every single day I would ask my mom, can I please play the violin? Can you please, did you call the violin teacher yet? Did you call the violin teacher? Like I would come from sports camp sweating and I'd get in the car and I'd be like, can you just call the violin teacher? So, you know, maybe the sports didn't continue mostly after high school. But violin for me has been something that, you know, I've played in a bunch of orchestras. I still play in the orchestra at Brown. And it's just been something like that Georgia said has brought me so much joy. And even though I'm also a pre-med, you know, I just love to play the violin, and there's so many people around me who I meet and who are so different from me that it just brings me such a joy to be able to play with other people and hear their music and really appreciate it. I think without Farbrook, I don't know if I would play the violin. I don't know if that would be something I would be really interested in, but I think Farbrook instilled that lifelong passion for me. So I'm very thankful for that.
I think mainly for me, a lot of the different aspects of Farbrook, I wish I was an amazing musician, but I'm not, but it's given me a huge appreciation for music and for drama. And I did continue the sports after Farbrook because I loved that it gave me a different set of community and it allowed me to connect with people that I might not have totally connected with in an academic setting, whether that be we just weren't in the same classes, or it just gave me new friends, which I loved. And especially now, I just think I have this really strong appreciation for things like music and theater, which I'm not a participant of, but at school, I think I am like the biggest fan of the a cappella groups that they've ever seen. I'm at every concert. One of my best friends is in it, and I'm always asking for the insider information of what they're going to sing and what groups are coming. In theater, like, I just have a huge appreciation. I love to go see the plays that they put on, even when none of my friends are in it. And I think it's just a really funny appreciation that a lot of my friends have commented on. They're just like, it's so interesting. How did you get into any of that? And I'm like, well, I grew up with it. It was a part of my everyday life. And I love telling people that I was in a Shakespeare play, and I give no details that I was in eighth grade. They have to know none of that. So yeah, I think it's just changed my perspective on that I can be really interested in things that I'm not good at. And yeah.
So I think some of you touched on, you know, some of the aspects here at Farbrook that are unique around, you know, the piece where everyone participates. You know, I think some of you too touched on, you know, maybe you were involved in things that maybe started a little reluctantly, or, you know, you tried out something and then you decided in high school it really wasn't for you. And, you know, there were other passions to explore. And, you know, when I think about Farbrook's upper school, I also think about the structure we have where Farbrook's middle school is grades 4 through 6. And we really look at leadership opportunities for sixth graders. And then our 7th and 8th grade is our junior high program. And how we really talk about leadership here at Farbrook. And I just wondered if any parents, eighth grade perspective on, you know, what are some of the things that you really think about within Farbrook's upper school that were sort of these quintessential experiences, maybe for better, for worse, that you explored in your time, and just some reflections on that.
Great. So in eighth grade right now, we have many opportunities to be a leader with the younger kids. One of my favorites is in processional. This year we walk the nursery floors, and that's kind of like the highlight of our experience. You know, we do still have many opportunities. Like there's this thing called opportunity period, and we're working with the nursery fours. It's just a time to get to know them, because sometimes in the everyday school day we don't see them as often. So yeah, having like being the oldest in the school is something that we really value and try to have many opportunities with.
Thank you. Yeah, as I mentioned, I have three older boys that went through public school all the way. And that middle school piece, they're just lost, to be honest, in our school district. There was no differentiation. There was no opportunity. You just were nervous about what high school brought. And here, I think there's such an intentionality around creating leadership opportunities for the seventh and eighth grade. I cannot stress, you know, and I feel like weird because she's here, kind of talking about it, but her language changed around school and changed around the things that she's doing, working with the younger kids, volunteering to be part of widening the lens, just seeking opportunities out to shine, to contribute. And then also the teachers that you call by their first names, right? They see the kids and say, hey, you'd be good for this. Would you mind helping out with this, right? So it's this nurturing, symbiotic relationship where my boys just didn't have that opportunity in high school and in middle school, in seventh and eighth grade, kind of prepping for high school. And then I'll just relate that to an experience that we're having as we're going through the process, looking for high schools. A few of the Barbara parents were together at one of the schools we're looking at, and the dean of students made a beeline to us and said, oh my gosh, we love the Barbara kids. The kids come here ready to participate. They're not like all the other kids that come. They jump in from day one. I want to be a part of XYZ. How do I get active with this? I just don't know how Chrissy's going to call them by their last names. Because I think that's going to be, you know, like you guys all did it, obviously, we have to do it, but I just think that's going to be an interesting change.
I'll chime in really quickly on the piece that everyone mentioned of the older students mentoring and taking on leadership with the younger students. On the flip side, for the younger students, they also get that exposure to being a leader and what that means. And they look forward every year to joining the middle school, but then also being that older mentor and leader on campus. So they get exposure from nursery 3 and 4, and they remember their interactions with the eighth graders, seventh graders, sixth graders, et cetera. And they really want to become those leaders. So it's really great to have that exposure even when they're so young.
And I'll just add one more thing. My daughter, the summer program has, if you're a graduate, you can come back and be like a pseudo camp counselor. She loved that. So she graduated eighth grade and she spent 2 weeks over the summer in the summer learner. I forget what it was called. That was a great experience. It wasn't specifically academic, but it was another leadership opportunity over the summer. And that was just a nice segue into moving on. She just did, what did she see them in? She just did, we went to a play, Vanguard Theater play, and two of her campers were in the play. And it was such this reunion. Oh my goodness. You know, they were like third and fourth grade. They didn't even go to Farbrook. They lived in town, but it was just a nice, my counselor is here, see me in the play. And it was just a nice little moment. And that was over the weekend. So
thank you. I wondered if, you know, one of the things that we could address that came up from a current Farbrook parent that was asking a little bit from the perspective, Nadine and Chrissy, around what does it look like as a junior high student for the supports provided here at Farbrook as you're starting to think about what comes next? You know, again, whether you're considering public school options, independent school options, but just wondered if you could speak a little bit from the student and parent perspective around that that piece.
You want to go first?
You want to go
first?
You want to go first? Mickey and Alicia and the team here, I think, do a phenomenal job of helping us lay out the timeline of all the things that need to happen. They keep us on track, starting most aggressively, I guess, in the seventh grade, thinking about, you know, making sure we understand what needs to happen, what the process is like. And so, you know, I was talking to somebody recently, like, oh, we're almost done, you know, everything's fine. And Amy Z was like, no, Nadine is not cool as a cucumber. She calls me, she calls Mickey, she calls everyone. They're fantastic. They're so helpful in helping us think about the exam, standardized tests that need to be taken, what school might be a good fit, to always open and receptive to our feedback and our comments, very organized with all of the recommendations that need to get in, just very, very, just a lovely guidance kind of through the process. And so we're almost at the tail end and I'm just so excited about the next steps. I guess at the end of the month and end of February, beginning of March, we'll find out what's next. But very supportive. I really couldn't say enough nice things about it. And I feel like we're really prepared for college in terms of that kind of a process as well.
Okay. So since I've been here, I feel like I've always been prepared for the next step. And the support that we have from the teachers during this application season is phenomenal. The fact that they understand how much we do have to do, like prepping for the next step, is wonderful, you know, and they're really supportive in that area. Yeah.
So Nina lightens the math homework if you have applications. I wondered, in transitioning to the next question, is thinking a little bit about, those of you who may have had a student transition or you yourself transitioned to come to Fahrbrook as a new student. As we said, there are, families that enter and students that enter in the nursery program, kindergarten, but just wondered that perspective of if you have that piece of experience around coming to Fahrbrook as a new student at another entry point. And just if you could share a little bit about how that felt and looked. And
so I'll say my daughter joined in fourth grade. We lived before this on the West Coast, and then we tried 1 year in public school, and we were looking for something more intimate than the big public. And she had a great experience in fourth grade joining. There were four other kids that joined in fourth grade and they became like a little unit. But it was great. That was pretty seamless joining in the middle, even though like our panel is, there's one who's joined later, but a lot of them are nursery three joiners. And I thought they were very inclusive and welcoming in fourth grade and then along the way.
So yeah, I came in for junior high and I remember in the beginning, I was like, okay, this is a lot. but my mom is upper school French teacher here. And for 2 years prior to my coming to Fahrbrook, I had like gone to Fall Family Day and just like seen the community and understood what was going on because my little brother was here as well. And then coming in, I like immediately made two friends, a little group, the faculty kids, me and Amy Zubart's daughter, Anna, like this, you know, so close. And Amy, Nina's daughter. And one of my first experiences actually in terms of transitioning was when Amy and Nina came over so that Amy could teach me how to play field hockey. And then, yeah, we've just been lifelong friends since then. Coming on campus, the transition's like, okay, here's your class. There are 24 of you. We had 24 in our class. And I don't know, immediately you're put into your advisory groups, you learn how to speak to a bunch of people, and you are kind of thrown into everything, but it feels like really stimulating. And like at that age, you're like, okay, I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that and I'm going to be doing this. And then it's all very organized. And I like the way that our schedule worked. And then we also did study skills in seventh grade. And so I feel like a lot of the organization really clicked with me. So I think that the transition for me was really great. In seventh grade, sometimes it was like, oh my God, I'm only here for 2 years, but like, who cares? Because in 2 years, and even prior to that, you can feel the connection. Like, emanating. I don't know. You walk onto Farber campus and you're just like, okay, there are people here and everybody's going to say hi to you and everybody has a smile on their face. So I think, yeah, even when it didn't feel like it could be easy, it still was going to be regardless because of the organization. And yeah, that's how I felt about it.
Sure.
Yes.
We had a pretty lackluster third grade experience, and I was actually at Hillary's house and said, oh, third grade was just okay. And Hillary said, I know Chrissy, she would love Barbara, come. And that's how we came. And I would be remiss if I didn't publicly thank Hillary yet again for introducing us to this community. But not only were the kids very welcoming when Chrissy came, our parents would reach out and say, we're so happy to have a new student. How's everything going? They welcomed not only Chrissy graciously in the classroom, but I just wanted to also say the community was very warm and engaging and welcoming. And so it made it feel like home. And that was like right before the pandemic. So we had a good fall of 19, January, February, and then the pandemic happened. But yeah, I just wanted to stress that it was the whole community that was welcoming.
So as I'm looking at the time, I think we need to wrap up, but thank you so much for sharing stories and sharing your reflections. We couldn't have done this without you. So thank you to all my panelists. And if you can stay for another few minutes and have some questions for anyone, you know, feel free. We're happy to, you know, talk a little more one-on-one. So thank you so much. And I'm gonna...